welcome back, one and all, to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club. As always, the first rule of Fife Club is...
Talk about Fife Club.
Holy fuck.
Discuss it. Contemplate it. Ruminate on it.
Yeah. Fife Club, comma, discuss.
Yeah.
Question mark.
Do you need me anymore, guys?
Frankly, I think we've got this shit licked.
It's only taking me 25 episodes. Anyway, we do have a little bit of joyous news this week. Friend and previous guest Ken and his wife Rosie have given us a new potential listener by having a baby boy. So congrats, guys. And I'm confident he'll know his Fife Club uncles and aunts voices well by the next time we meet him. But anywho...
Sorry, hang on. Potential.
I'm going to teach that kid all of the words that Rosie and Ken don't want him to know.
Oh, yeah.
Naughty uncle.
And all of the Fife slang.
Daddy's a bar bag.
When he's running around the house. Ken.
Pleasing news. Shame he's not called Mark, but you know.
you could have called him like Mark, Kutch, Jamie. instead of whatever it is that you have called him.
Finlay.
Finlay, yeah.
Named after Finlay Quay.
Is oh, it?
Not
nice.
Really.
Oh, it should have been. Like,
that would have been a mate. Yeah, right.
Leaf based reggae sensation.
I thought it was Dr. Finlay.
Oh, give me that. Was that the vet? He's a vet. Dr. Finlay was a vet. He wasn't a doctor. Finlay. Or no, doctors. Vets are doctors.
Finlay's been vet.
Uh-oh. He started on vets. Here he comes.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, so, anywho, around the mic with my good self, Kutch, tonight is a man as rotund as a gilded balloon. It's Jamie.
Hello. That's accurate.
I think that's really harsh.
But my insides don't look as nice.
Next to him is a man whose head is starting to look a little like the Pleasant Dome. It's Mark.
That's a good joke. That's the only reason. The only reason I don't want to kill you is because that's a good joke.
And across from him is a man with so many teats they call him the Udderbelly. It's Dave.
Dave Tits Rogers.
It's not positive either. Yep, that's right. Fat shame Jamie again.
Sorry. I don't like this body shaming shit that's going on, Kutch. Some of us are like, I've got a complex. Now,
yeah, so. Fat shame Jamie, bald shamed you.
Especially Kutch, who is shaggy in every sense of a word.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's something we could say about a cave in Kutch, but...
Yeah. Or Teen Wolf. Off
theme, off topic, but hey, fine, whatever.
There's a Teen Wolf for
craving crackhead canine.
Yeah. Have you not looked through the Fringe brochure this year?
That's the name of my fucking show.
Craving the crackhead. What?
Yeah. You heard.
I was going to say Teen Wolf on Ice, but.
Oh, that's even better!
Could have been. Yeah.
So yeah, you may have noticed a bit of a theme on this week's intros, and that's because myself and Jamie went to visit Edinburgh on Monday to experience the Fringe, and Dave did it himself, or well, at least with his...
far better half, yeah.
not with us, so I don't actually think it counts, but he's going to tell us some about it anyway. But yeah, me and Jamie did a day on Monday and did some free Fringe stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've forgotten the name of the first guy that we went to see, and I meant to look that up.
Dangerous...
Dave Rubens. Dangerous stunt magician Dave Rubens.
Yeah, something like that. Dangerous Dave?
Yeah.
Half stunt man, half magician, really just a magician.
Yeah.
But funny.
Wearing stunt man's clothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. but yeah, he was quite good, wasn't he? It was a good way to start the day off. It was nothing you've not seen before with magic. Put a nail through his nose.
Sort of stuff you usually see on TV, though.
Yeah.
You don't usually see people doing it close up as much. Yeah. Like the nail through the nose and the razor blades out the mouth. Thing.
Mouth, yeah.
Sorry for ruining his show.
But yeah, it was good. And yeah, just a little bit light entertainment for the afternoon. We'd only had one drink by that point. So to come out with a review like that is not too bad. We then went to see Big Howard, Little Howard.
Yes, which was fucking amazing.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And anybody that hasn't ever seen or heard of Big Howard, Little Howard, it's a guy, Big Howard, and his small animated friend, Little Howard. They're a double act. It's essentially Big Howard with a PowerPoint presentation, which is Little Howard, and he voices Little Howard and some of the other imaginary animated hosts like Roger the Pigeon.
Roger the Racist Pigeon.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's been, like, what's weird is Roger the Pigeon used to seem like one of those cartoon racists. Now he seems all too accurate, like someone you'd meet in the pub.
So, yeah. Brexit they, means Brexit. Yeah.
They did a kids show on CBBC, and Roger the Pigeon was in it, but surprisingly toned down a little.
I can imagine.
He was just their manager, and that was it. And wasn't anywhere near as racist. I do remember when I saw it, just thinking, how are they going to do this? But yeah, just toned them down.
But that was a free show.
Yeah,
but I don't know why, because I would have happily paid like 10 to 15 pence to see that.
Yeah, we did. We saw him back in 2005.
Yeah,
and like that was the second or third year in a row we'd seen him.
Yeah.
So we'd seen him like definitely doing the Fringe circuit before, and he was like well billed at that point in time.
Like he got rave reviews. Everybody loved him because it was something different. Like there was nothing like that. I don't think there is still anything quite like the way he does it. It does let you see an interesting insight to the mind of a maniac, but
yeah, he quite literally is a maniac.
Yeah, he has like multiple personalities, and he just lets them out and has managed to make money on them, yeah. Or not, as the free might be.
And then after that,
yeah,
went to see Glenn fucking Wool.
Yeah, amazing. Glenn Wool,
who's a festival favourite of mine.
Yeah, and just like all round. Great Canadian comedian. Like, Canadian comedian is the best way to describe him as well. He's very Canadian.
Yeah, and at the end of that, I'd actually run out of money. That's why we were free fringing it.
Yeah.
But what it's a paid show, but you can line up and so many people get free tickets for whatever's left, mm-hmm. and then you pay in a bucket on the way out.
Yeah.
Mm. Or is it $7.50 to secure a ticket?
$7.50 to secure a ticket, and then you can rock up and see if there's any space left. So we just hung about, and yeah, there was about 15, 20 seats, and we got in.
But
and then it was like, yeah, a couple of quid on the way out.
Again, it was a great show,
yeah.
And easily would have happily paid, you know, a tenner or more for it. Yeah. But I guess for something about the economics of Fringe, which is making people do this model, because mm-hmm. Glenn Wool's pretty well established as an alternative comedian in the UK.
Well, I was saying years
worldwide as well, I think.
Like, yeah, I would have thought so as well.
Yeah, no, it is.
Because years ago I saw him, he was comparing at the Stand in London. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In London, no.
Yeah, so he was... Was it the Stand? Or the...
Comedy Store.
That's the one, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave, you just correct me on my London stuff. That'd be good. Thanks. But no, yeah, it was the Comedy Store. And he was on the same, he was on the same bill, I think, as Andrew Lawrence and Michael McIntyre.
All right, okay.
Who everybody went wild about, and I was a bit nonplussed. But in that sort of, like, you're famous. Now you're in a live setting. You better impress me now.
Yeah.
You better show that you've done the hard yards to get there.
Yeah.
And actually, he was pretty average.
I imagine seeing Glenn Wolf and Michael McIntyre would be...
Yeah. So, like, obviously, I was thrilled at seeing Glenn Wool. Like, because I knew him. He's compared. I was like, yes, brilliant. I know you. You're excellent. You're reliable. Andrew Lawrence came on. Andrew Lawrence is a very prickly, weird character.
Yeah, he is a bit strange.
That time I saw him, I think, was one of the finest comedy performances I've ever seen.
Really?
It was hysterical. Oh. It goes to show, like, you don't need to be left-wing to be a good comedian. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just, like... It was really excellently done, actually. It was like him talking about like mundane aspects of life and how they basically get on his nerves. And it was just supremely well done. He since had a massive spat and falling out with Stuart Lee and all kinds of things.
So what he was doing was what Michael McIntyre tries to do.
Yeah, very much. Very much, yeah. Michael McIntyre does.
One of my ex-girlfriends once said I was like Michael McIntyre, and it's honestly the worst thing anybody has ever said to me in my entire life.
Oh, that's brutal.
That is quite
brutal. I was
I find him the most average man.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Just comedy-wise, it's just totally middle of the road, play it safe.
That cut me deep.
Yeah.
I once got Spudge and Gerard Butler, which actually I'm still delighted.
Spudge and Gerard Butler.
Honestly, utterly thrilled by that. Quite literally the nicest thing I think anyone's ever said.
That might go in your bio.
When I was over there, me and Charlotte kind of set off for the day into what can be described as a fucking typhoon. Hammering down, and we just bogged from shop to shop on the way down.
Yay, festival weather!
Yeah, August, Scotland.
Oh, Mark, we would have had good fun. There's nothing better than a day of like sun and then downpours for a good game of
Poncho spotting,
yeah.
International poncho spotting. It is the game that people should be playing.
Absolutely.
It gets harder with the more pints, but you get more competitive with the more pints that you have.
And you really need a day where it's going to be nice, but there's going to be some showers, because that's when they all run into the shops and then come out with their horribly like naff themed Edinburgh Castle tartan.
Yep.
It's a shame it's held up in the Olympic committee.
That's corruption for you. That's what that is.
It's a lot of drugs in that sport.
No comment.
Well, we went to go and see a couple of comedians, and we went and did the free thing as well. Mm-hmm. We paid for a few tickets later on in the month, but we went to go and see Paul Savage's set to Self-Destruct.
All right.
At 52 Canoes out in the Grass Market. And it was literally because there was a seat there. And it was like, I'll get a seat and a drink, because it's like my experience of the Fringe is that you'll go along and fight someone to the death in order to be able to sit in a seat and have a drink in peace. But we went to go and see him, and he was actually spot on. Gave us a comic at the end of it and that as well, because it was we put in a fiver and all that, and he gave us this really well written out comic with
nice
puns about he was looking at Euclid and all that sort of fun stuff. So yeah, we went to go and see him and a little Jewish guy as he introduced himself to us, called Ben van der Velde at Espionage.
All right.
And it's the only good time I've ever had in Espionage.
You beat me to that joke.
Yeah, exactly. It was a terrible time. We went in there, we were in there for about 5 minutes, and there was like three guys sat at the bar who were just trying to start a fight with anyone going to the bar. And it was like 8 o'clock, and it wasn't like, it was just a nice quiet festival atmosphere, and three guys like determined to start a fight, and it was, yeah. Yeah, he was damn fine, like, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Espionage bring back the train spotting element to the French.
Absolutely.
I got punched in Espionage once. Some guy punched me in the back of the head whilst I was at the bar, and when I turned around, he was running up. I could see him running up the stairs at the back. And bear in mind, this guy was twice the size of me, like running up the back of, and there's a friend like in front of me holding me, going, "I'm really sorry. He's not like this normally." just like, what has happened to you?
That's the classy way to start a fight.
For a start, I'm not going to start on your enormous mate. He's now running up the stairs. Weird. And then we saw an old PE teacher. I don't know if I should tell that story actually. maybe not. Anyway.
With a drink in his hand, having a great time.
Yeah,
that's the
accompanied by a couple of attractive buxom females.
Ta-da. Yeah, it's the one thing that got me with the Fringe though, is like outside on the day that we were over there, and it was tipping down. It's probably about 13 or 14 degrees, not too hot at all. And you go downstairs into these little venues, and it's always 127 degrees.
Gotcha.
It doesn't matter about external temperature at all, and you just die.
That's I think our guest Rob, who's coming up to the Fringe on the 16th from there. He was saying that his only experience of Edinburgh is sitting in dingy, dark, warm pubs with no air conditioning. And yeah, that is pretty much the experience of the whole Fringe.
If you could get a few seats in there, you've got a show, basically. Yeah, that's it.
I do love that like spirit of the Fringe, where it's like, can it hold some people? Yes, it's a venue.
The show must go on.
Yeah. We went to go and see Jimmy Carr in a porter cabin. They were giving out tickets to a random comedian, and it was, you know, guest comedian, and this was like years ago. and went into a porter cabin, and Jimmy Carr stood there, and it was like, holy shit.
Did you punch him?
No.
I would have.
I will.
did you join me in mooning Jimmy Carr?
No.
It was definitely me, Chris, Ken. I think
was Brendan. That in Pleasance?
It was in George Square, George near Square. The Spiegel tent. And Jimmy Carr walked past and we all just mooned him. I have absolutely no idea why we did, but we did. So, well, yeah. Happy days.
That's why it still is in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carr's got a lot of sway in that committee.
Yeah.
Fucking corruption.
Yeah. You don't know the pressure. You don't know the pressure, Jimmy. Because I'm constantly champion.
Heavy is the head that wears the poncho.
Yeah, telling you, poncho king, that's what I'm saying.
See, I would have mooned Jimmy Carr at that opportunity, but there's only 10 of us in a porter cabin.
Yeah, we did. We'd have been really weird.
Just one guy.
Yeah.
With an oversized
at the start of the... Yeah. So that nothing else could have happened.
That's it. Any questions? Yep.
Yeah, late in life, that would go, though.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Fine. Anything would happen. Would happen
the crowds are so savage. At yeah. It's unreal.
It is unreal. It's unreal. I remember when dear
for a few years,
dear friend of the show, Ken, called the comedian a cunt. Shouted out, "You're a cunt," because Ken is like, "I'm going to heckle him. What should I shout?" And I just say, "You're a cunt," and he did it. Yeah, and then that the comedian stopped the show. It's like, I've never been so insulted in my whole life. Like, it just really upset.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
He's a fucking comedian. He must have heard worse than that. Jesus.
It was. It made everything really awkward, which was obviously all Ken's fault.
That'll be the first word out of your baby's mouth, Ken. Yeah. Nah. That's it. Daniel Kitson's got a story about... late in life, he's told quite a few times where I've seen him. It obviously weighs on his conscience, where he called a guy a cunt and that his trousers were the trousers of a cunt. And then the guy left and then, he felt awful about it.
Well, in revenge...
So that's a reverse. Like,
In revenge for that, me and Koch took creep shots of Daniel Kitson saying eating noodles at Mama Lan in Brixton.
And then sent them to me going, that is Daniel Kitson, isn't it? That is Daniel Kitson.
Just sitting there and it was like, wait a minute. Yeah, that's Daniel... Because I think we'd only just been to see him like about 3 weeks beforehand.
Yeah.
Because that was September last year, wasn't it? Yeah. It was just a few weeks beforehand, and it was just bizarre.
I remember having a rather creepy moment with Dave Gorman, similar to that, and it was, we'd gone to go and see him, and 5 minutes later we were walking along the road, and he was sat, as we were just, I just said the name Dave Gorman, because I was like, oh, Dave Gorman was hilarious, and he was sat there, and he just went, thanks very much. And I was like, oh, Christ, and then we walked like, oh, yeah. And then came back down about an hour later, pints in hand, kicking about George Square. And I was just like, oh, we need to get tickets for Dave Gorman if he's back again next year. And he was sat like, in a different spot. And he was just like, you again. Like, shit.
Let's see what that's done to the graph.
We saw Dave Gorman in somewhere as well. He was doing a thing about how camels are everywhere, the images of camels. And we'd just been to see him. And he was sitting in, I think the cafe was called Fabric. On Bristol Place, near Bristol Square, basically. It used to be like the little cafe there. Mm-hmm. And we'd just seen him and we had a pack of camel fags and like knocked on the window and held up this pack of camel fags with obviously a picture of a camel on it. And he ignored us. Absolutely ignored us. Too fuck. To the point where we're just like, okay. Didn't work out quite as planned.
Awesome.
But mind that time you got eviscerated at late in life as well.
Yes. Yeah. Jason fucking Byrne.
Yeah.
My nemesis.
One man has a long running feud against Jason Byrne.
15 minutes of just sheer utter fucking hell. Never sit at the front at late in life. Set at the front.
It was Glenn Wool as well when we were there saying Reginald, he goes on, he opens for Reginald D. Hunter. And when he said that, I went, oh fuck, he must get a lot of complaints. Like, people see Reginald D. Hunter on Live at the Apollo. Yeah. Glenn Rule's opening for him, like, Jesus. And then he was like, and I get a lot of complaints. And people try to get him. But he said Reginald D. Hunter gets drunk a lot. And mind, we, when we met him,
yeah,
he was, it was like the second last night of Fringe, the last night of, no, the last night of Fringe was Stephen K. Amos.
Yeah.
And he was crying and really pissed and being really nice, but like, oh, it's just so lovely and it's all gonna end. But it was really fun.
I am just gonna say that there was Jamie being racist again.
What?
It was Reginald D. No, it was Stephen K. Amos.
No, I was gonna talk about both of them anyway.
We did see him another year drunk. On the dance floor.
At Late in Live?
Yeah, Late in Live. Yeah, that was...
Because there were two comedians...
Like the year before, yeah.
There were two comedians I've met absolutely wasted at Late in Live.
Yeah, and Jim Owen. Because Jim Owen was there with Stephen K. Amos as well.
Who? I don't even remember. I was absolutely fucked.
We were. We were. Because that was Big Hand, the year Big Hand played, I'm pretty sure.
I thought you said Jim Bowen then.
No.
That's gonna lose my shit.
That's just Dougie.
Yeah, that's just fucking Dougie. That's met him. No, Jim Bone and Stephen K. Amos dancing from. Wow.
Something tells me that wouldn't happen.
It is a Late in Live story, though, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it could happen a Late in Live.
Having said that, the published past might be correct.
That was all fun and games. Any other stories, Dave, from the Fringe?
Just that I hate the last train home more than life itself.
We got on the last bus on Monday, but it was a Monday night and it was quite quiet.
Yeah, everybody was really chilled out. It was weird. Nobody starting to talk to you for absolutely no reason, then getting aggressive, then going, all right, I'm just trying to be your pal.
You're kidding, my cousin.
Oh god,
he's a legally boy. Right, yeah, cool. What we're going to try and do as well, continue the festival theme a little bit with this. Actually, why don't we do a little bit of the socials first?
Oh,
I think that might be quite interesting.
That's a good point.
Jamie, do you want to get all the socials?
Oh my god, my brain doesn't have any water in it. Right, so get us on Instagram, Fife Club. Email us at, rustle of paper, fiveclubpod@gmail.com, Twitter at fiveclub, or Facebook, facebook.com/fiveclubpod, or at fiveclubpod.
And brand new, of today, www.fiveclub.co.uk. We have a website, just our Podomatic page. So go check it out. We'll be updating that with every episode, and if there's anything any of us have to, anything that we have to say at any point, we'll put it up there as well.
We'll try and be good about it.
Kutch made an excellent picture of BE and Dave fighting from last week, so go look at that. It's on there. It's fucking hilarious.
It's worth a look.
from what looks like the Forrest Griffin area of UFC, by the
I think
the looks of a cage.
It was fun to do.
BE looks like a smiling Sam Alvey in it. Who's ginger and smiles all the time when he fights.
Yeah. Well, that's not Baker then. That's smiling. Oh, Jesus Christ, no.
And Mark is the referee.
Yes. That's a nice touch.
Yeah, I'm calling it. What? There we go.
You'd be better with Mario Yamasaki. It's a joke for your MMA fans.
it's one I really got. Really appreciated that one, actually, Jamie.
Anyway, Mark.
So we were going to do a bit like you know, we like to welcome people to Edinburgh for the Fringe over August. It's a nice thing to do. Population swells, all this kind of thing. Lots of good vibes and all that kind of thing. So a little bit of public information about when you visit Scotland and your preconceptions about Scotland.
Yeah.
So I've got multiple preconceptions about Scotland rustling in a little tin.
He's just so excited.
So, right, Dave, would you like to start? Can pick the first one out.
If it's Braveheart, I'm going to fucking kill myself. Bagpipes are awful. Is that Is that a misconception?
And you tell me, where do you stand on the use of the pipe?
It's a Gary Larson comic from back in the days, the guy that did The Far Side. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a comic once that was, "Welcome to heaven, here's your harp. Welcome to hell, here's your bagpipes."
It's a fair call. When you're in Edinburgh over the festival, you will hear a lot of bagpipes.
Yep. Some of them real. Yeah. Some of them piped.
Yeah,
quite literally.
Yeah. A lot of them just coming out of little stereos in shops that are desperate to make you buy a poncho.
Shops. And usually called something like Scotland Gifts or Welcome to Scotland. And run Pride. Entirely by an Asian family.
True. All of them, the same family. Yeah.
Pretty much entirely. And their stock will consist of small little shitty figurines, mm-hmm. really poor quality woolen scarves, plastic ponchos, yep. and umbrellas. Yep. And I think that's pretty much...
And nylon kilts.
Oh, yeah, nylon kilts.
A single on...
Yeah.
It's like a Scottish shell suit.
And again, Mr. Fire will get you.
Absolutely.
But,
I was going to say the bagpipe side of thing. I think they're awful, but I'd definitely follow them into battle.
Nice. They do stir the blood.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, there's something.
But if you get someone who can't play with bagpipes, it's fucking bad. Awful.
See, yeah. I quite like pipes, bagpipes when they're in a good folk band, sort of like, especially if they're accompanied by fiddles and, you know, the whole lot. It all really works.
Rural. See, I'm the opposite. Yeah. I usually like pipes just solo. I don't like them in my phone.
Single snare going with it as well.
And I also like Biffy Clyro have a track on their second last album, which has a bagpipe solo, and it is fucking rocking.
Stinging like, bell.
Yeah, that's it.
Absolutely.
It just absolutely works right the way through it. So yeah, I think there's definitely a time and a place. However, during the festival, it's also the tweeest, most awful fucking stuff that they're playing as well. If you hear Flower of Scotland, if you hear Loch Lomond.
Yeah, bugger off.
Yeah, it's...
A little bit of like what was it, Highland Cathedral or something? Yeah. By a lone piper or something like that.
Well, that's what played Kirsty into our wedding.
Yeah.
It was like... Single lone piper playing Highland Cathedral.
You get a lot of Amazing Grace as well.
Yeah.
I think that's for the Americans though, because
they have no culture.
Yeah. A little known fact about Highland Cathedral is actually an Indian guy that wrote it as well. He took everything that sounded good about it.
It was an English
guy. No, Indian guy.
Right. I knew it wasn't actually Scottish.
They took everything that sounded good about the bagpipes and put it into one tune, mm-hmm. in Highland Cathedral's.
Yeah,
tune.
It is.
Aye. It's a belter.
Bagpipes, I think along with Tartan, come from that part of the world as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think bagpipe was English. I think originally.
Yeah,
it's based on.
Evolved from that part of the world. Yeah.
Agreed. So if you don't, I'm with Kutch actually, along with a good folk track like Rura, I think are probably my favourite example of use of pipes in a band. But it can be absolutely banging. And if you don't like them, realistically, it's an English invention, so fuck it.
That's it. My view on it is, if you can do it well.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can't do it, don't.
Right.
That's why I'm always wanking.
Who's up next?
It is Jamie. Why do you eat deep-fried Mars bars?
Nothing annoyed me more about living in England than the constant reference to the deep fried Mars bar. It's almost like we've I understand, like, you know, the whole concept of Scottish cringe.
Mm. Yeah.
This is the one thing that gives me Scottish cringe.
Yeah.
Because we don't fucking eat deep fried Mars bars. I've never had one.
I've had several.
I've had one. I'll cut your brain of argument here, but I was about to make it.
Oh, what is enough?
Well, I think that someone looked at the numbers, and apparently it's almost entirely tourists who have them.
But I mean,
90% of the
sales
or something.
I've not had one for 15 years, you know?
I had one, and then I was like...
I had one and quite liked it, and then had another one like a year later. And then I've had... I think I've had probably about 4 or 5 in my lifetime, and they're good, but they're... It's sickly. It's proper proper sickly food. And so, like, just, so sugary, fatty, blip, blah. Yeah, you've got to be in the right frame of mind for it.
Insane.
It's basically something like molten sugar caramel in batter, fucking piping hot, is basically some kind of horrible mouth trap. Right,
do you know what?
Burn from the inside.
Mousetrap was Penman's rejected game. It got rejected in favour of Mousetrap.
Yeah. Fuck you, you always lose the bets for Mousetrap. Mousetrap, not at all. Not at all, always.
Is that because...
As recommended by dentists.
Mousetrap, is that because you don't lose the bits because it all stays inside the mouth?
Yeah.
And not
you lose bits of your
or hair.
You lose bits of your you lose bits of your mouth with the amount of sugar in it.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say that it's essentially like a McDonald's apple pie.
Yeah, in the same level of like furious heat,
but yeah, and that it's like sugar wrapped in batter.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm quite a fan of a apple pie from McDonald's. I do have to say,
dear God, Lynn, it's as hot as it's
sound. Yeah, that's what it's like.
But yeah, you do have to leave them for about 2 days before you can touch them. But yeah, it's that like the consistency and the kind of it's the same, almost the same. In fact, I would say they're very, very, very similar.
Gelatinous overheated nightmare.
Yeah.
So
quite tasty.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking about doing it, just don't. Like that's it. Just don't bother.
Get wow. Fish, you Raj.
Yeah.
Or smoke sausage supper if you're feeling a bit dirty.
Yeah.
And then just try a wee Mars bar on the side. Actually, you know what? I've only had 4 Mars bar suppers because I've also had a Twix. A Twix supper before.
Yeah. He wanted the 2 fingers.
And that was weird. I didn't quite like that.
I feel bad giving you the tumbler to choose the next thing out of Kutch because I've lost all respect for you.
Lost? Did you ever have? Let's look around this table. Do any of us have respect for anybody here?
Yeah, no, frankly, quite true.
We've all seen one another at our worst. Right, why do you wear skirts?
It's just like, there is nobody the world over that doesn't understand that it's a kilt.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot possibly, like, unless you're a small child.
Yeah.
Like, the one thing you know is that Scottish people occasionally, wear kilts, right?
Yeah.
We're allowed to wear them to the Vatican. We're the only people that are allowed men to not wear trousers.
Yeah,
really?
The Vatican. Yeah, we can
take
wear a kilt.
Advantage of that.
Yeah,
I'm
absolutely
doing that. Actually, I'm not. Last time I was in the Vatican, it was boiling hot. Our kilts are heavy and boiling as shit.
It's more than a deep fried Mars bar.
Especially ones made in nylon.
I got it from the shop. They said it was authentic.
Yeah.
I was a Highlander now, that's what
it's a genuine fake.
But it's just brutally and like it's brutally insulting to our culture and things like that. The people like that know but yet still find that something humorous to say. Like this is some level of like hilarious banter that
Is the modern like kilt ensemble, is that not actually English? Was it not an English designer that came up with it?
It's a bit of both. So people used to wear, not kilt, but like whole sort of robe things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In a tartan, which was usually their clan tartan.
Yeah.
But not always.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the more modern thing was with King, what I can see his portrait in my head.
Was it not Victorian era?
I thought it was Charles.
Oh, it was earlier than that. It was like...
Charles.
It might be Charles. It was... Yeah, he basically came up to Scotland because... The Union was still quite new. The Union's not that
Charles
old.
Charles I.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's him.
No, wait. Yes, because the Union wasn't that old. So he wanted to show that he was really Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he ordered them to come up with his formal dress for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they sort of came up with. I think that was the Royal Stuart, how the Royal Stuart became incepted and stuff as well.
It is cool as fuck, in fairness. Like, I quite donning the kilt and getting the photo on and just getting steaming. But that's the point. If someone does tell you you're wearing a skirt or ask why you're wearing a skirt, you're carrying a ski and do so you can just chip them.
Yeah. And so even if it's a plastic one, who push hard enough, it goes in.
Just try.
And also, realistically, guys, getting steaming in a kilt is magic. Because, like, how easy is it to piss? No bother at all. Like, this is not a problem whatsoever. Your sporran carries pretty much everything you need. Although nowadays,
with the mobile phone and things like that, it doesn't carry a phone. It doesn't carry your phone because they're oversized now. Your keys and your hip flask.
Oh, and your hepper as well.
You've got three of them.
Yeah. Always like
that's
to
what your top pocket and your inside pocket in your.
That's it. Yeah. Cheers, Charles.
But I think the thing about the Victorian thing is I think there was an attempt in the Victorian era to like standardize tartans.
Mm.
I think that's what happened, but I'm not entirely sure. So. But, yeah, kilts are fucking magic. Don't insult us by calling them skirts, because they're not skirts, they're kilt. You fucking know it, we fucking know it. Why do we have to go through this charade of terrible pattern for you to get to that answer in the end?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to hand it
in. All right,
here we go.
What have we got there? It's like train spotting.
Yep. Yeah, that's a very sort of English and American thing.
Yeah, there's Americans that come here because they think it's going to be like Trainspotting, and somehow they can have some kind of walk on the weird wild side.
They'll never go to the parks of Edinburgh that are like Trainspotting.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of them don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Some of them do. They're the worst ones. The ones that people are afraid to go to destroy. Yeah. That's it. It'd be terrible to be like. It's the one kind of scene that's in Trainspotting from The Fringe, where you've got the American tourist that shows up and he just kicked the shit out of him and steals stuff.
Yeah,
I wouldn't come here as a tourist for that.
It also reminds me of when I was watching. I was watching England Scotland in a pub in West Kensington, I think it was. And some rugger standing next to me just shouted, "Why don't you fuck off back to your heroin den?" And I was like, well, at this stage of watching this terrible game where we were getting slaughtered, I'm standing next to you. A lifetime on heroin seems more appealing than standing next to you, you fucking chinless prick.
Actually, you glassed him.
We did have words, Dave. We did have words.
Did you say that was in the Oxford?
No, it was in a pub in West Kensington.
In
London. Wanker.
My brain heard the Oxford bar, which is a fucking great pub, but sometimes when there's like rugby on, you get dickheads in there.
Oh, I don't even think the Oxford bar is a good pub.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
This is kind of controversially speaking, but...
I like it because of its ties to, like...
Rankin
and Rebus, and just like I sit there, and it's every time I sit there, it's just like stories and moments. And
the bar staff in there are notoriously like, tools,
there is glum.
There is absolutely no reason for them to be tools either. I think it kind of annoys me because as a student, we used to drink in there quite often. Then you go in now, you're practically stared down as you order a pint, and it's like. That isn't like some bit of fun or something like that. Yeah, it's a bit of sport for like the posh, like fucking locals that live in the new town. Mm. But for anybody else who just wants to go and have like a decent time, like we're not going to disturb your space at the bar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're going to go and sit in the back, skulk in the back and buy your beer. We're like literally subsidizing so your locals can sit there.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't for people like us going in there of an occasion, you wouldn't have a pub there in the first place.
Well, the thing is...
Yeah, the land prices there must be insane.
Yeah, you can't run a pub with six locals.
There must be a huge tourist like flow in for the Rankin Rebus effect as well. That has to be a huge draw to that pub. And it's good that they don't play on it, but the fact that, you know, the attitude you get when you go in there, you just think, this is bringing you money. Like, it's...
Yeah.
And bring you money by folk who are mostly harmless and are just wanting to experience the place that's written about so much.
Or just have a pint, because their pints are quite decent.
Yeah.
Like they serve the kind of beers that we like. Yeah, I was just really put off by the last time I was in there. The person behind the bar who was very snooty, again, someone I also had words with. it's like, you know, we're not coming there to ruin your local vibe or anything like that. Everyone has a local pub that they like and care about.
And you're still
know?
In the fucking city centre.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a wee bit out of the way and tucked away, but you're still in the city centre.
Yeah.
You're,
if your locals are city centre pub, then...
You don't have locals.
Yeah, absolutely. Apart from the Star Bar, which is actually quite nice. Right, we've got like three more. Yeah. We'll just quickly rattle through them and we'll go. I don't know if they're any good.
Is that all it says? Yeah, jogs.
Yeah. Go fuck yourself.
The only way that's permissible is in the army.
Yeah.
They call Scottish people jocks, but it's kind of in a...
But yeah, like, I've not really... Well, no, saying that, I have experienced it. I've experienced it in my place of work and getting called that over the phone by people.
What getting like, said to me, you fucking jocks, all with your big houses up there. What? It's such a way. I was like, what are you talking about? Anyway,
cheap houses, maybe. Not necessarily big.
I do still prefer jocks to Scotch, though. Like
Scotch is
It's my bad.
The English don't do that so much. That's the American.
They do.
Do they?
They do.
I've not
purposely. They do it to wind you up as well.
Right.
See, the Americans do it without any kind of irony at all. It's just like, oh, you're Scotch. It's just.
But you just like with Americans, you just have to mold them into the sort of person that you want them to be.
Yeah.
Whereas the English know that it rivals you.
Yeah.
They absolutely know.
Yep.
Jock as well. Just fucking pejorative. Yeah. Like, if you're going to call me a jock, then don't object when I call you a Morris dancing cunt.
Yeah.
Seems pretty fair to me.
A limey, palmy bastard.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do you hate the English? Well,
in fairness, very quickly, we don't hate the English.
No.
But if you call us jocks, call us Scotch, and accuse us of living in heroin dens, then you start to see why we can occasionally get it.
That's it. We don't hate the English, we hate you.
Yeah, exactly. Arseholes come from everywhere.
Yeah.
I was born in Scotland, born in England, but consider myself Scottish.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's if this independence thing happens, it goes tits up, I have a... Sweet, double citizenship.
Yeah,
I'll just go a bit south, Dave as well.
Represent, brother.
Yeah. Were you born in Hattoon?
I was born here, but
How many generations back do you think they'll accept? Because I can go two, so.
Oh, yeah. Like an Irish passport that everybody went for after Brexit. Dave.
The last one is, why do you die young?
Well.
Fried Mars bar suppers.
Social inequality and industrial decline.
Yes, very much mixed with a level of poor diet.
Yeah.
Mixed with lack of vitamin D deficiency, and like a hell for leather attitude to alcohol.
That's a big
and the secret recipe in Iron Brew.
Yeah, actually, I have one last one which we're all going to immediately just counteract. Haggis is disgusting.
Ah, fuck that.
That's bullshit.
That is absolutely bullshit.
Vegetarian haggis.
It's instead of saying it's disgusting, just try it.
Yeah, exactly. Genuinely, if you eat sausages from anywhere else in the world, you eat worse bits of meat than is in a haggis. Haggis is very consistent. Just give it a go. It's really nice.
It's mostly peppery in taste. Yeah. It's spicy and peppery. If you like black pudding, which again, most folk, I think, even down south would have a bit of black pudding, you're not that far away from haggis.
No, get yourself to Stornoway as well.
Yeah.
Or get Stornoway to you.
Yeah.
And fuck your Irish black pudding. All my Irish mates say it's better. It's not. No, it's fucking shit.
Yeah. And Bury black pudding is pretty disappointing as well.
Yeah. Stornoway though. Oh, that's
Stornoway's
pudding all the way. Like.
Oh, lordy.
Haggis is a winner. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Just go mental on Burns Night, why not?
So, whiskey too. I think in general, that's our kind of little bit of public information for people visiting the Fringe.
Yeah.
Of how not to really rile locals whilst you're there. Because we love you being there, but, just don't irritate us.
Or we'll start a fight with you.
Yeah. But the other thing is as well, like, if you are listening to this, and we're going to sort of subtly try and, like, pretend that we're at the Fringe by, like, using Edinburgh Fringe hashtags and things like that to try and boost our listeners up a little bit. But if you are at the Fringe and you somehow stumble across this podcast and didn't turn off within about 2 minutes, then, and you have questions about Edinburgh, the Fringe, pubs, all that kind of thing, just get us on our Facebook page and things like that.
Yeah.
We'll happily do a little bit of recommendations and things like that. Don't go to the Oxford Bar. It's full of cunts. Where do you want to eat? Moss Kitchen. Really cheap. Excellent. Things like that you're not really going to get.
Moss Kitchen. Wings.
Yeah.
City Cafe.
City Cafe. That's where we ate the other day. It was fucking amazing.
For if you're wanting a chippy or pizza or whatever.
Nachos. Nachos in the City Cafe are a total winner. Like, but yeah.
It's just good, and not terribly expensive either.
Right. I'm calling it on the French.
Let's call it on that.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, back we go once again to our very favourite desert island. Yes, that's right. It's time for Desert Island Decks.
So, we're back on our desert island of decks.
And it, might I say, it's pretty sunny, Gudge. The factor 50 is out.
But for some reason, Dave's wearing a poncho.
Because I'm ginger.
Yeah, so am I, honestly.
Yeah, you guys can't cope with the heat at all.
My only hope is to cover up and run.
I'm in a full man from Del Monte suit, obviously. With brim Panama hat. Yeah.
White linen suit.
Yeah, white actually really doesn't look good on me. Very washed out.
I fashioned myself a very trendy suit jacket out of banana leaves.
I have to say, it really was the star turn at the Desert Island fashion show that we had last week to just entertain us. Pretty much ruined by Dave's honey badger. Eating the guy that got washed up the other week. Yeah, that was shit.
Oh, well.
It turned out to be Bear Grylls. It helped us all. Fuck's sake, Dave.
Left his food, though, so...
Yeah.
That's something I'd like to see anyway, but...
You and your fucking honey badger.
It's got a place, this island, damn it.
Yeah, half of it.
Just angry. It's the bit we fenced off.
It's like Jurassic Park.
I had a thought about Jurassic Park today when I was walking through the Rex Park. On the way here. It's just changed so much.
Yeah.
Like, I usually walk through at night a bit drunk. And not from that direction as well.
Well, the fact that they moved the bird.
Yeah, moved the bird.
That's mad.
Yeah, you're like, oh, they moved the park. And they moved the fucking bird. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So we're back on the island. And this week, we are going to sort of discuss what we would bring with us to grow and what we would what album we would play to our selected thing to grow to help it sort of nurture it on and help it grow to its very best. Who would like to go first?
I'll go first.
Yeah. Uh-oh, here comes the plantation owner.
Oh yeah. I'm gonna bring cotton.
When you grow in
massa. I'm Mr. Brown. I don't declare.
I'll diversify my racism into selling chicken. So since the eclipse is coming up in America.
Yeah.
This week, we all know you've gotta be careful in America when you're buying plants when the eclipse is out. Because if there's a total eclipse of the sun, and you take it back to a shop, then you've got a little shop of horrors.
Yes, you did. Yes, you absolutely did.
So I've got a plant whose name I've forgotten right now because I haven't done my research from Little Shop of Horrors.
What is it called again? Seymour's the guy. What's this bloody plant called?
Feed me, Seymour. Feed me all night long. And the album I play is a soundtrack to Little Shop of Horrors.
See, I always wondered who'd win in a fight between a Little Shop of Horrors plant and a Triffid.
Oh, that's a good fight.
Yeah, we're not doing Fight Club this week.
No,
this is curiosity. But I did almost consider Triffids to beat back Dave's honey badger.
Audrey the second.
Oh, because he's got Audrey.
Suddenly Seymour.
What a film.
Do you know, I've not actually seen it. I know enough references for it, but I've never.
The whole thing is cracking. Steve Martin in it is.
Yeah. And Rick Moranis as well.
Oh my god. And whoever it is who plays Audrey as well. I've forgotten her name. She's really good. It's just excellent. And it's sort of this sort of slightly camp musical, but it's really funny as well. Yeah. It's really good.
It's just a cracking cast and great songs. And
I heard there's a remake coming out with, who's going to play Plant? Can't remember. They'll probably be shit.
Yeah.
So how is the plant going to help you on the island?
Yeah, what?
Well, so So, I've got a plant, right? Uh-huh. And basically, because I've got my plantation of other animals, but I trained my carrot and stick, I can stay in my throne room with my plant near me, in front of me, but not like, you know, not too close to me, because that plant will turn on you. Yeah. So you got me. Yeah. So I have to train that with a carrot and stick as well, but more likely dead animals and sticks. Yeah. Dead humans and sticks, because that's what it eats.
Yeah. So, there's that half a body after the honey bag.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah. That's how I start it off.
Yeah.
And then obviously I'll have a booming flower business, just like in the film. And that'll give me some money to build a fortified wall behind me and around me. So I've got my throne room, plant in front of me. So if anybody comes too close to me and I don't like it, plant needs them. That includes your fucking honey badger.
I don't know, man. I've got plants for honey badger.
But yeah, that's basically mine. I think we should move on.
Fair enough.
Dave?
Well, I thought I'd do a bit more reading into flora and fauna for this one.
Okay.
So I decided fucking to go highbrow. I thought I'd go for a wee part of the Erythroxylaceae family.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, yeah.
But aren't they seasonal, though, Dave?
No.
Perennial.
No, they grow
perennial.
They grow all year round. It's basically, it's a firm summer favourite. And when you get that aroma inside your nostrils, it'll definitely put a warm smile on your face, which is lovely.
Yep.
Basically, it's a lovely plant, displays red berries all year round, and the emerald green of the leaves would attract even more wildlife. So we'd have all sorts of things come at the island, which would be great.
Not more honey badgers.
No. Only one of those. It would also maybe allow me to have a square go with a honey badger, because Erythroxylum cocovar is the main component of cocaine. Basically, each leaf has a low level of alkaloid, so it acts like coffee as a stimulant. Which means I get loads of shit done. And it also means that my honey badger might be slightly off the chain.
Oh no.
Coked up honey badger strolling around.
Oh, that's it.
Holy hell.
That's it. I mean, it is similar to coffee. And who doesn't love cocaine?
Well, you know, at least when you're that jacked up, you'll be able to run really fucking fast from your honey badger when it's in hunt mode.
Mother thought
about
it.
All you have to do is run fast. The dead body of Bear Grylls.
That's his next show.
Well,
the big plus side of me growing cocaine is that I'll definitely be rescued, because the police and military are looking for us
all the time. Dave, I think maybe me and you should get a little economy going.
Maybe.
Just like Into the Badlands. Instead of opium, it's cocaine. I've got the plantations, used to play with cocaine. We get the plantation worker animals hooked on the cocaine so they won't leave. How does that sound?
That sounds perfect. All we need to do now is between the two of us train a honey badger.
That's impossible. Cocaine. That's literally impossible.
It's
yeah.
I think I might be able to help you with that. Do you want to go with your song?
No, I'll go for it.
Did you have a song or an album you were going to play?
Obviously for the crops, I was going to go for something a bit more actually scientific. I was going to go for the Classic FM Top 300 Hall of Fame album, because it is actually scientifically proven that classical music and string music especially actually accelerates the growth
of class A's.
Of class A. And also
class A calm music.
That was 10 years.
I think it would also help calm my honey badger down a little bit. But I think for me, I'd probably just need a bit of ambient house and electro just to chill the fuck out.
Just like an Ibiza chill album.
Yeah, ideally, yeah. Maybe acoustic chill.
Oh, wow.
So speaking of similar things, Jamie, you were talking about Into the Badlands and opium. I would grow opium poppies.
Oh, there we go.
So multiple reasons for this.
Well,
so,
gets better.
So first of all, I would grow them because they're pretty easy to grow, relatively hardy. It's in fact possible to grow them accidentally in a student flat. Turns out. Until you realise what they are and you have to get rid of them pronto in case the police turn up. Anyway, but that's an anecdote that I don't know anybody that did that of. Or your drunken Irish flatmate falls into them. Anyway, something might have happened. But
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. So they have multiple uses. First of all, obviously I could start heroin production on the island.
Obviously.
For medicinal reasons, though.
Well, that was what I was going to say. There's basically two reasons for this. One, we do need some form of, like, apothecary and things like that in, like, on the island. You know, if we get sick, honey badger bite on your leg, you're going to want some opiates to dull that pain a little bit.
So we better have painkiller.
We might not have a medical professional on board, but at the same time, we've got some kick-ass painkillers. You've got localised anaesthetic with your cocaine, so dental's possible. I've got the opiate for anything sort of lower body and stuff like that. We're killing the pain perfectly.
Yeah.
And at the same
time, can't cure it, but we can kill it.
we'll get the pain down for a little bit. So I think it's useful in that respect. And then also,
if any of us need to give birth as well.
Yes, exactly.
Which is a strong possibility.
Right.
I mean, I think that's why I'm carrying all this extra weight Kutch makes making fun of, but...
Did he sneak into your hammock one night?
I hope that honey badger's not fucking pregnant.
The other thing is, like, obviously there's recreational use. Like, not that I'm recommending opiate use in any way. I think that sounds pretty terrible. But frankly, we're going to be stuck on a desert island, so we might as well give it a shot. Like, by the time, like, if there's no hope left, what other better way is there to go out? And also, as Jamie says, I could become a full-on warlord at that point. If anything, the Into the Badlands and Afghanistan have taught me, it is that I could quite readily become a warlord through growing opium poppies. So I'm willing to do that. And then to help encourage them, I'd play Opium by Marcy Playground. Stoner Rocker.
Wow.
To tie it all in.
You're also falling into your own cliche about Trainspotting earlier as well.
Yes.
Doing recreational drug use.
Yeah, probably. But this is in very serious circumstances. We're stranded on a desert island, Jamie.
Yeah.
If the sun doesn't get us.
That's it.
I don't get me and Dave.
We've got rakes of cocaine.
And if there are other islands nearby, we can set up some form of barter economy. We can get them hooked on drugs so they give us all their food and possibly take our honey badger.
It's going nowhere.
But sometimes we might just want a little holiday. Just think of it as kennels. No. Right?
Maybe actually. I'm quite hard going, I think. We wish for this for a week.
All of your waving it goodbye on the raft for a brief period of time.
Is it each three people?
Yeah. We could set up a gift economy like the Trobriand Islanders.
Yeah.
A gift economy of pizza go red, but ours will be cocaine and heroin.
I've got a worrying feeling we might just end up more like the Darien Project instead.
So, Kutch, you're growing weed.
So, I was thinking a wee bit more practically, but recreationally as well. I was,
you fucking stoners, look at yourself.
Mine was more medical purposes.
I'd be high as shit.
If there's mountains on the island as well, Dave can survive altitude sickness with coke as well.
This is true.
Which is actually totally and utterly disgusting. Altitude sickness is infinitely preferable to chewing coca leaf. Let me tell you, that stuff is disgusting.
It's a little bash.
Anyway.
I'm going to bring along a cornucopia of mushroom spores.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're going to have your standard button mushroom. Going to have your chestnut, your portobello, your oyster, your shiitake, magic. Oh.
Your psilocybin.
your classic magic psilocybin. Because I thought, you know, they're good. Good source of protein. Good source of vitamins E, C and D, I think, as well. Certain varieties can also have high amounts of calcium. I think potassium as well. There's a whole load of different, you know, mineral advantages to mushrooms. A good meat,
replacement as well. Mm. Mark's not going to touch any of them.
Nope.
So it's all right, lads. More for us.
Hey.
The devil fungus ruining Italian meals since whatever year.
But yeah, I was going to bring them along, and of course some magic mushrooms for recreational use as well. And
honey badger and magic mushroom. Oh shit!
Oh, if you weren't terrified enough, just know that you're stuck between the plant from Little Shop of Horrors and a raging cooked up honey badger.
Cooked up,
and you're tripping off your nut.
It's cooked up and tripping off its nut, and you're having a fun adventure.
If all this makes the drugs, we're going to need an adrenaline shot. Just for safety reasons, through the chest.
And the album that I was going to play is Velvet Underground and Andy Warhol.
It would grow so well.
Yeah. Slowly. Yeah. But,
and also perfect for the heroin.
Yeah.
just so we could really rock that New York chic.
I just kind of thought, you know, what do you want, you know, what do you want to be playing in the background while you're on an absolutely fantastic mushroom fucking trip?
While you're chasing the dragon,
yeah,
Herod, it turns out to be the honey badger. Yeah. Oh, shit!
And it's chasing you.
Yeah. We definitely need some big, you know, the red ones with the white spots, the big fly agaric mushrooms.
Yeah.
We need a couple of those just in case we go to war. You never know these island people.
I've been suspicious for the island over there for a while, actually. I think they're plotting against us.
I'm just cold.
Stealing my fucking tiger. plotting to steal our supply of undiluted iron brew. We've still got
bloods.
Yeah.
Is that where our ion is? Is it Inchcope? or even better?
It's kind of like Venom from Mortal Kombat. It appears and disappears.
I was
like going
to say,
places.
Is it better? Is it Cramond Island and it turns out we could just walk back to
Shell? Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Where we could smoke signals to leave.
We're just too fucked on our own produce.
I did very
and
much
drunk on power. Yeah. On our plantations.
Jamie's dressed like a southern, like dressed like alternately like a plantation owner and a southern dame.
Yeah.
Rotating two parts of his big Georgian townhouse. Yeah.
I wonder when my master will be home.
And then the next day, I can't wait to get home to Mabus.
It's the days when he goes half and half.
Yeah.
Having conversations and turning.
I did consider one other potential one, which might have helped us get off the island, but then I ruled it out, which was a monster mind from Jason the Wheel Warrior. Because it could grow a whole fucking truck thing for us. And at the very least, I could get into that, lock the doors, and be safe from the honey patch for a while.
I was going to say, at the very least, you'll have a rocking theme tune.
Yeah.
We're warriors.
I was going to go with a TARDIS, because we're meant to be grown. And then I could just fuck off at the end of Levius.
Oh, man.
Whilst having whimsical adventures in space and time.
Yeah. Well, constantly people speculating about your gender and ethnicity. Yeah.
Sorry, I was dressed as a sovereign dame.
Yeah. I would have put that past Sylvester McCoy.
You say we'll just do enough cocaine and heroin to think we're going to be anyway, so it's okay.
It'd be like Deedians when he goes to space.
Da. Were we partying up Don Finnis and Crown? Oh, Dee Dee. Well, that was a fun little visit to the island this week. I'm about to jump in my helicopter and get off it.
Oh, you didn't have a helicopter at any point during this.
Oh, no, sorry. It was my U-boat, of course.
Now he's a Nazi.
Wow, that was
an old school rather good.
Yeah, bloody hell.
Tales of the Blood.
God, I've been watching that for years.
How are you going to get to the beach, Blood? In my U-boat, of course.
Yeah. God. Fucking hell, that was internet 2000.
Then one, maybe 2000?
2000, 2001, somewhere about there. Yeah.
Jesus.
Oldrathergood.com.
Yeah.
Fine food, feed to feed fine food.
Food. Yeah, wow. The crab of inevitable wisdom.
And rubbing cheese into your knees, your giant bee.
Bees.
This giant all just fly bee. Right over.
Do you not know Tales of the Blood?
Nah, man.
Oh, Dave.
Is it still up? It's on YouTube. Space Jam.
It's on YouTube. It was all flash animation, like really shit flash animation, but like to the point where the guy that did Rather Good, Joe Veitch, like got like about 2 years after that, about 2003, got the Christmas display in Harrods. And did Tales of the Blood, like a full like live interaction Tales of the Blood in the windows in Harrods.
Have you seen the new Ribena advert? It's not like anymore. That looks like him.
Well, he I don't know if it is him. He went into doing adverts and stuff and that kind of thing, so it wouldn't surprise me if he's behind that. It's very much his style of animation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sort of exaggerated cutouts and stuff and monsters that are just made out of people bits.
Yeah. And cats.
And cats, yeah.
Sounds like Rubber Johnny.
You ever seen Rubber Johnny? Yeah, I've got it. Oh.
Don't watch Rubber Johnny.
I'm shaking my head in sound form.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going there.
I think it was Beatty got it for me for a birthday 1 year because, well, it was Chris Cunningham, who's like an awesome, is an awesome director. But that video just,
paired with Aphex Twin just means it's the craziest possible thing to see.
Weird. Weird.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I think that's us getting towards time. Anybody got anything else to say this week?
No, just get in touch with us.
Yeah.
If you want any festival tips.
Jamie.
Oh, the socials. I was about to mention that. Please talk to us about a festival and whatever else on facebook.com/5clubpod or at 5clubpod, Twitter at 5club, email 5clubpod@gmail.com or Instagram 5club and 5club.co.uk.
Yeah.
Boom. The newly minted site created by Kutch.
Our first blog post might be me apologising for my use of the C-bomb tonight. Apologies. Made probably too many times.
You know, I didn't hear you say Christian at all.
Max gave us a row 1 week for being too blue. Regular guest Mags.
And her pretty principles. I'm pretty sure she comes on as like an absolute trooper when it comes to it's okay when she's on.
You could take the girl out of a green party.
I thought you were going to go, you can take the girl out of Westfield.
Oh, yeah. More sense.
So, it's that time of the night when I need to ask Dave, what is our motto?
It's short and sweet. There are only two peas and a barrel of apples.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow, yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah. Confucius, I like it.
Yeah.
It's not deep at all, it's true. There's only two peas in a sentence, barrel of apples.
Apples, yeah. Yeah.
Like it.
Okay, right, well, good night.
Night!
See ya.
Daniel Topolsky's explanation of Tina Turner. Tina Turner? It's what's love got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion? Because this song's so deep. He had this slot on an ITV late night show which was explaining lyrics from songs. But Daniel Topolsky was like, Tina's going really deep with this. Instead of the hour-hand love, she's talking about the second-hand love on the clock, which only lasts for seconds. What's love but a second-hand emotion? It's so stupid.
I'm done.
I don't want to kill you.
Was your hair? Yeah, it's like shit.
I don't want to kill you. You complete me.
The microphone's not even on.
It never has been.
What? Wait a second.
Yeah.
Every week I go home and I do my best impressions of you all and recreate the conversation.
Nice.
That's why I have a stupid voice when I listen to
No.
Oh, what?
Wait, what?
Fucking Matt.
Huh?
Was that not what you were referencing?
Nope.
Oh, nope. The fucking Cuban government has been the US has expelled Cuban ambassadors because the US embassies in Havana has been getting, people have been losing their hearing and have been like saying about weird things for months. And the US government seriously thinks that the Cubans have been putting out like a device outside the embassy which makes them go deaf. Like a sonic device.
Holy shit.
This is on BBC News. This isn't some thing.
This isn't a Trump tweet.
No, no. This is like genuinely what's happening. Yeah, what the...
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway.
Why?
I don't know. That's the thing. I was like...
To what end?
I'll just try it out.
Fidel's last laugh.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Ah, I had enough time to contemplate what that was.
Nice.
I'm there.
See, that's what the silence is for.
Who's not a bathroom fan, really, though?
Distractor, extractor.
Oh, yeah. Fuck off. Shit yeah. jokes.
Yeah, I used to like Combine Harvesters, then I like tractors. Now I'm an extractor fan.
That was much better. I'll give you that. Was much better than that one.
I'm glad that happened.
That's an extra if I've ever heard one. That's
podcast the extra. Hello, bitches. I'm on farm.
Got any more derogatory Irish jokes?
No, they're naturally sticky fingered people. I'm Irish, it's fine. It's alright.
Are you Irish in the way Americans are Irish?
No, legit, I'm legit, it's Irish. Aye, whatever. Anyway.
That's right.
In fact, I can't tell you a story, but I'll tell you a story after this podcast, okay. Which will prove my point entirely.
Right.
Good.
I'm a bad babysitter, got my boyfriend in the shower.
Making $6 an hour.
And why not?